Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Indiana Athletic Trainers Association podcast, hosted by the Young Professionals Committee. The views and opinions expressed by speakers, guests, or others who have provided materials to and for this podcast are not necessarily those of the IATA. The IATA assumes no responsibility for, nor endorses any of the comments, recommendations, or materials that are provided. Do you need CEUs? Check out the IATA website, where you can find a link to EBP Central, working in collaboration with athletic trainers to continue Indiana's tradition of excellence.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning back in to the IATA podcast today. My name is Daniel Welty, and will be co-host of the IATA podcast today. We're talking about governmental affairs within the IATA. I also have a co-host today, Casey.
My name is Casey Heavenstreet. I am the chairman of the Young Professionals Committee for the IATA.
And we are really excited to have two great individuals on the podcast today. We have Lucas Darko and Kim Williams. So we'll just have them introduce themselves. Lucas, do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Well, thank you very much. Sure. So my name is Lucas Darko. I'm the chair of the Governmental Affairs Committee, but I also serve as the program director of the Master of Athletic Training program at Manchester University.
And Kim?
Sure. I am Kim Williams. Thank you guys for having me this evening. I am the Vice President of Association Management at the Corydon Group. And this is a great opportunity to explain just briefly who the Corydon Group is. We are the organization that helps the volunteer leaders of IATA manage the day-to-day operations, but at the same time, we are also the governmental affairs representatives or their lobbyists for the association. Lou Belt, who is my colleague at the Corydon Group, is the primary lobbyist for IATA. I serve as a secondary backup to Lou. Lou has been lobbying for the association for a number of years, and that's probably a name that many people recognize. But we do work together at the Corydon Group.
Thank you for that. We'll just get right into the questions here. So maybe one of you can explain, what is the role of governmental affairs within the IATA?
Sure. So this is a really loaded question. And so as many of the questions I think will be tonight, so I'm really going to try to speak in big picture and what I think this means for the athletic trainer out there who's a member of the IATA. So really when it comes to advocating for the profession, there's a lot of different ways that we can advocate for the profession. So how I see my role is that I'm really working with the executive council members, and it's all really coming together with the help of Kim and the rest of her colleagues. Kim, how do you explain this to the lay individual when they ask, why in the world do we need you? Why do we need the Corydon Group to help us manage our association?
Well, I'm sure you're not going to be surprised to know I have an answer to that. I think, you know, governmental affairs and advocacy is probably one of the most forward-facing things that the association does for and with its members. Advocacy takes a lot of roles. A lot of times we think of that, in particular here in Indiana with the Indiana General Assembly. But we also work closely with the professional licensing agency, and in that regard with the Athletic Trainers Licensure Board. We work with a number of insurers and insurance carriers, and work with Clark Simpson and his role in the association, and all of that is part of advocacy as well. A lot of times we know that members think that advocacy is one of the most important things that the IATA provides for them. And the reason is because in a lot of cases, members don't know how to go about advocating on their own behalf. So that's an important reason for the association to do it on their behalf. It's also an opportunity for bigger voice. And as we all know, the bigger voice is the ones that get heard. So advocating as an association is what allows us to get heard easier. I don't know if that helps.
No, that's a great answer, as I think people to understand why we have a lobbyist and why we have the courting group on our side is to have that bigger voice. We've talked a lot about advocacy. Could you maybe explain what advocacy is? And then maybe how members can be a part of that advocacy. Obviously, we know we have the courting group, as our large voice, but how can we be a part of that movement or part of that voice if we wanted to take steps ourselves?
So advocacy is exactly what you think it is. It's making sure that people understand our story. When we talk about the General Assembly in Indiana, we have a citizen legislature. So that just means that those people that are serving in state government have other jobs. There are a number of teachers and some attorneys and some farmers, no athletic trainers. There are some physicians and a couple of nurses, some other healthcare providers in the General Assembly. But it's our job to help educate those members of the General Assembly who don't understand what athletic training is, what they are, what you do, what your educational background is, and how you work with your patients on a day-to-day basis and your student athletes. So that's the job of advocacy, and it's telling our story. That's exactly what advocacy is. It's making sure that everybody understands what it is they need to understand in order to make it available for you all to continue to do what it is you do. And the way that members can be involved is knowing their legislators, developing a relationship with their individual legislators. They don't have to know all 150. They don't have to have a relationship. And I know a lot of people are hesitant to come to the state house and advocate at the state house, but knowing who your individual legislator is and being able to reach out to them when something comes up and that they recognize your name, or that if they see something that comes across their desk that relates to athletic training, knows who to reach out to get your individual perspective. That's important. So there are lots of ways to know who your legislator is. The association's happy to help. You have a profile on the association's website, and your legislators' names are a part of that profile. So you can always go look there. Knowing who your legislators are, reaching out and offering yourself as a resource and introducing yourself in that way is probably the number one way that members can participate in the advocacy of the association.
Absolutely. And I just want to go off that. There's a story that I like to tell other athletic trainers when I talk about what Kim just said and take that into action with actually speaking with our legislators. I'll admit that whenever I speak with a legislator still, very much get this hit my stomach of knowing that I'm on and whatever I say will and can be used against me, so to speak. And so it's really important that our members have this in mind that unless we tell our legislators who we are, they likely, one, will not know who we are, or if they think that they know us, it also gives us an opportunity to be able to help better define it. And I'll give you the perfect example. Whatever someone talks about athletic training, for the past couple of years, we've actually been able to go to the State House and do a Hit the Hill Advocacy Day type event. We've done this at the NATA level for many years, and University of Indianapolis has done this, but we really haven't done this as an association. And so I took my students and we met with several of our legislators. And whenever we said athletic trainer, they instantly were referring back to us as personal trainers, and they made a lot of inferences to that. And so we really had to very quickly establish who we were, and so really trying to get those nerves out and kick those to the curb and have this moment with our legislators of really telling them who we are and what we do and why we're so important. And we also want to do this in a way where we try to pull in their past experiences so that they have an understanding of who we are. And so what I found with this though is that there's a lot of advocacy that goes on because I'm not just trying to advocate for myself in that moment, I'm trying to advocate for all of us. But it's also important that we remember that when we're getting in front of these individuals that we need to be united And I think that's where a lot of these questions, I'm going to come back to this idea that we need to be united. We need to have this single voice. And Kim and her team really, they're the ones that are that conduit of helping us do that on a day-to-day basis.
I think the thing that you also have to remember, Lucas, and just to continue along this path, is that the legislature affects you in so many areas. They affect you in your licensure area. They affect the educational area. So for our students who are going through the process of becoming athletic trainers, they affect reimbursement and how you get paid and how much you're going to get paid. All of that happens basically starting at the General Assembly. And so making sure that we have a voice and that people know who you are, making sure that they understand that you're healthcare providers and you're a part of that healthcare team is super important in making sure that they have that understanding. So, you know, ultimately the job of advocacy is to making sure they understand that. The job of our members is to help making sure that their individual legislators know that and that they understand that they have, again, a resource in them to help answer some of these questions that Lucas talked about during those personal meetings. Unfortunately, with this legislative session and the pandemic, we're unable to host our annual legislative day at the State House. It's just obviously not conducive this year. We'll shoot for it again in the 2022 session. But having people come to the State House is super important. It's a great opportunity to show how passionate you all are about your profession and share your experiences with those people who don't understand and know what athletic training is.
And for members out there wondering where you can find that information, if you go onto our website under Leadership Committees and then Governmental Affairs, there's a big blue button that says Find Your Legislator. Click on that, type in your address, and you'll be able to find who you need to contact and reach out. And it doesn't have to be about a specific bill or anything. It's just introducing yourself, saying, hey, I'm an athletic trainer. You know, those things, if I need to be a resource and help you out. I guess on that note, either Kim or Lucas, have you ever experienced or have members ever reach out to you saying, hey, my legislator contacted me because they saw a bill related to athletic training or related to maybe student athlete health, and they've reached out to athletic trainers to get their perspective on a bill?
I have not heard that from our members yet. I think we are still building those relationships. And so again, that's why I so encourage everybody to do that. I do know that the good thing is that we have had a number of legislators reach out to Lou, again, your primary lobbyist, and ask those questions. So they understand who to go to there with Lou. I know that we have put some legislators in touch with individual athletic trainers just to get that individual perspective. So that's always important also, is that I know that I'm able to connect to people and know that you can explain that individual kind of your perspective of what happens and hooking people up in that direction. But have I known of a legislator that reaches out directly? I don't.
I think another thing for members also to know, I guess understand, is you may not know, if you don't know who your legislator is, one, go look it up, but then two, you might be surprised on who it is in a good way, because I remember when I started kind of working in those roles and trying to meet my legislators, my old legislator at that point, his sister was one of my educators in high school, and I played soccer with his nephews, and so I think because they're from the areas, they represent us as constituents, you know, you probably know them or have interacted with them or at least heard their name before. So I think that's an important aspect, is that relationship building and bringing those in part of the conversation to build that relationship.
I think you're exactly right, Daniel. And I think you've hit the nail on the head with that. You know, your legislators are members of your communities. They live in the community. They typically work in the community. They have family in the community. I would be surprised that if for those athletic trainers who are in our school systems, that they haven't had either a legislator themselves who have participated in high school athletics or their kids or their grandkids as a part of a team in their community. And they're there, they're on the sidelines, they're cheering every weekend for those athletes. So I think you would be surprised at how approachable and accessible they are. They truly aren't scary. They're not all attorneys where you're afraid you're gonna say the wrong thing. Truly, a lot of them are, you know, teachers or consultants. There's a lot of consultants in the General Assembly. That just means they're no longer employed. There are a lot of retired folks who have retired from their profession. But, you know, they are just average citizens who are interested in hearing what you think, or they wouldn't have run in the position that they're in. You're not bothering them when you reach out to them. They knew what they signed up for.
Go ahead, Casey. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think it's also important in a way to remember that, you know, every 2 to 4 years, these people change as well. So if you meet someone one time and they don't, you know, think about it for another 20 years, I guarantee someone has changed. So just kind of keeping up with who your legislators are, I don't know why I can't talk at this point, but kind of keeping up with them and knowing exactly when they change and who the new person is, make sure you reach out to the new person once they get, you know, when they get into office, and kind of keeping your name available to all those that come through.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was going to go off, Casey, was this idea that yes, Kim is exactly right. The first time I met a legislator was way before I even took on this role. And that was an opportunity where she really was on the sidelines. She actually was the aunt of one of the basketball players on our team in Mount Vernon. And so I knew Wendy McNamara before I even knew what the world she was. And then a couple of years later, I was lucky enough to actually meet her again at the State House and had that rapport with her. But again, Casey, you're exactly right that these individuals are typically running for re-election. And this is something that if you find that legislator is not actually a proponent, or they're not as receptive to us, and we're finding that they're individuals that, you know, just aren't as friendly to our profession, perhaps there's an opportunity where we can actually help them by either getting out there campaigning for them or against them for one of their opponents. And so that's something that it works both ways. If you really, really like them and you want to keep them in office and they're doing a great job of really supporting us, that's awesome. Or you could do the exact opposite, but either way, just getting involved, even if that's literally just the matter of following them and they're putting a lot of information out on social media and just getting to know that individual and finding what their platform is. I think that's my biggest thing, and I'm going to probably say it 3 or 4 more times in different ways, is I just want our members to be informed of who's running. Because if we don't know who's running, and Casey, going back to what you're talking about, if there is a change, then we may or may not have a great deal of athletic trainers in that area, particularly I think in the northwestern side of the state and really the southern part of the state. There's pockets of athletic trainers in those areas even, but there are others where, for example, in Posey County, there's very few athletic trainers. And so it's this opportunity where we just need to get to know those individuals, because that really is, in some cases, you could be the only contact in that area. And like Kim said, you're really that conduit to help that one individual, especially in those areas where they have nowhere else or no one else to really tell them what an athletic trainer is.
And I know that we are obviously the IATA podcast and talking a lot about Indiana, but I think that also across the country and in different states, knowing your legislators as well. So other athletic trainers listening in as well, knowing who your legislators are, making that connection, I think is really important. Now, let's say I'm just an athletic trainer looking and listening to this podcast and go, well, that's great that we're talking about governmental affairs and we have the coordinating group and they're doing what they're supposed to do. So why should I even care about governmental affairs?
Yeah, that's where I would say that's a fair question, because you know what? Until I met Jim Miller, who was the chair of governmental affairs, before this. I met him when I was at a sectional, believe it or not, I was in the concession stand area where they were doing the, you know, the hospitality room. It was right next door to it. And so as I was trying to get something to eat before the ball game, this is when Jim Miller was the one that was really helping me get to know this. And so I appreciate being on the podcast tonight, because I want to try to echo the message that he gave me, is that if we don't advocate for our profession, who will? And so, again, going back to everything that Tim's talking about, is that we're the experts on this. And so we need to make this a priority for ourselves, because if we don't, no one else will. And I'll go back to this idea that I was talking with one of the managers of a sports med team here in Northern Indiana, and she was talking about with her staff of remembering and reminding them that we're always on stage. As athletic trainers, we're always on stage. People are looking and watching what we're doing. And so if they're seeing us do a lot of great things, it's awesome. But if they're seeing us do things that they don't understand, they could see us as someone who maybe is acting against their best interests. I'll give you an example. When I met with the legislator the last time we were at Hit the Hill, he thought what the athletic trainer was doing was inappropriate for a concussion evaluation. And the more he was speaking, the more I realized that the athletic trainer really was doing everything within their purview, within our scope, but they just didn't quite understand that. And so that was actually an opportunity where if maybe that athletic trainer knew who that individual was, that could have been an opportunity where that athletic trainer could have even arranged a few moments to speak with them. Again, going back to what you're talking about, Casey and Daniel, you said this too, is that they really are in our backyard. And so the more we're aware where they are, and if they are coming to the school, it even gives us this opportunity to maybe even plan a meet and greet and then help share this narrative. And the more they get to know us, I think it goes back to that question that you asked Tim, where they will feel comfortable with reaching out to us, and they will feel like we are that direct conduit. But I think it takes this relationship building that we're not quite there yet, and we're not there as many other professions are. I think we're playing catch up in many ways.
Well, Lucas, though, I think you hit on it. You are the subject matter experts. You know what happens in your training rooms, you know what's happening on the sidelines, you know what's happening in clinics, you know what's happening in the hospitals that you all work in. You are the subject matter experts. While I laugh and I talk about legislators and the fact that they all have day jobs and they all do different things and they all have different things, honestly, the Corydon Group, while we try to understand all of our clients and we try to be as much subject matters on issues as we can be, our knowledge only goes so far. You know, I've never been an athletic trainer. I've never been on the sidelines in the role that you're in. So you having those conversations with the legislator is important. And probably the biggest bottom line is I don't vote in everybody's district. I vote in the legislators, two of them are the only places that I get to cast votes for those. It matters when a constituent reaches out. Legislators take notice of that. That matters to them to hear from a constituent directly. Well, yes, they understand that the Corydon Group is coming and talking to them on your behalf, and they understand that what I'm sharing with them is information that you all have shared with us, but nothing beats hearing it directly from a constituent. And I would say, and Daniel, we mentioned this briefly, it's not only at the state level, but remember, there are federal level legislators as well. And the NATA has the same type of folks in BC doing the same work for the NATA that you have here in Indiana. And they're out there advocating on behalf of athletic trainers at the federal level as well. While they probably don't affect your Indiana license or the state where you are, your license on a day-to-day basis, they still have a big impact on what it is you are and aren't able to do.
Absolutely. And I want to go off that, Kim, just to give you an example. Tim Drudge, a former IATA president, and I we actually went to the Capitol a couple of years ago, and we actually tried to advocate for athletic trainers to be added to the TRICARE bill, which would allow athletic trainers to be in the list of providers that could actually work with our troops, their parents, their loved ones, the ones that are able to receive care under their scope with the VA. So that was something that was really, it didn't affect necessarily me because I am working in the college setting, I'm working from an education perspective, but if we get added to that, that's a lot of athletic trainers in a lot of areas that it could affect, but it also could affect long-term growth of our profession, where we really are able to further develop our niches, and that could be one more area where athletic trainers work. And so that's where, that's just one example of Kim. We're really looking at big picture type things that happen at the federal level that we might not be aware of, even from an IATA perspective. I wasn't even aware of this, that this was even an initiative until I was prepping for the Hit the Hill event. And I even am within governmental affairs.
And I think that's a good point to mention too. I mean, sometimes those are where additional job opportunities and settings open up. I mean, as I know here in Indianapolis, there's Pro Team Tactical, which is athletic training services for the quote-unquote tactical athlete, which is law enforcement, fire, and some, you know, National Guard military style athletes. And those, and a lot of people don't kind of think of those being actual true athletes too. So that's, as we build into those and those legislature, those bills come across and we get added to those do can open up additional job settings for the athletic trainer and for what we're going into and kind of those other niche type situations. So advocating across the board and kind of having athletic trainers available for all those who are physically active, something we constantly, you know, continually need to advocate for as well.
Kim, you mentioned, you know, the legislators really like having their constituents reach out to them. I guess maybe you can try to pull something from their point of view. Why is it so important that they get excited about it? And what kind of, I guess what I'm saying is, like, have you seen or heard things where they're like, man, I had, you know, this many athletic trainers meet with me, or they've heard, oh, well, these farmers or these teachers met with me, and that type of level of engagement with the legislator. What's the value of that? How are they excited and kind of those things?
Absolutely. And I think you're exactly right. They do get excited. And I think part of it is because they get excited because they do care about their communities. They truly do want what's best for their individual communities and for the state as a whole. But if they hear from a constituent, they know that this is something that matters to their community. This matters to people in their community. And it's nice for them to connect those. It's always fantastic when we have an event at the State House. And we have done a couple over the last few years. Some come to the Indiana General Assembly, come to the State House, athletic trainers. We'll connect you with your legislators. Every time we send those cards out and say, please join us in the rotunda on this date from this time to meet with members of the Indiana Athletic Trainers Association and have breakfast, if that's what we're doing that year, I always get back the comment, am I going to have anybody from my district there? They want to meet their constituents. They want to know that people are there. But I will tell you, it does matter when they come and they see a large group of people who are passionate about their profession and passionate about being interested and involved. You know, we've all heard of the postcard or the form letter that some association asks you to just sign on to. Everybody's letter says the same thing with just everybody's separate signature. You know, those are fine on certain pieces of legislation and they count them, don't get me wrong. You know, they want to see a stack here and a stack there. But it truly matters if they hear a personal story. And some of the personal stories that Lucas has shared, those are exactly what they want to hear. A couple of years ago when we had Hit the Hill Day here in Indiana, I happened to get to go to a meeting with the Senate Pro Tem, so the number one guy in the Indiana Senate. And just happened to be with us was a student who was in the athletic training program at University of Indianapolis. And that student was able to tell the senator about their training, about what they were learning, why it was important, and what they wanted to do. They also had the opportunity to share concerns that they have with the profession, more along the lines of the student debt that they were going to leave school with, and being concerned about finding jobs and knowing what was going to happen. And those are also things that the legislators want to hear. Hearing from that student really raised awareness of Senator Bray. And during that opportunity, we had a chance to share with him the change in training for students in the athletic training programs and how we're switching our program to the master's level program. And I will say, I'm not sure he was in favor because they see that as a barrier to practicing in the state of Indiana, and they don't want there to be a barrier. They want it to be easy for people to come in. By the time that we were all finished having a conversation and explaining why this was important and what this was going to do, and the student was able to talk about why that was important to them and to their professional development, I think we moved that needle significantly. I'm not saying he would be the author of a piece of legislation, but he sure is more likely to be receptive when that piece of legislation comes before the General Assembly.
Yep. Kim, I had the exact same conversation with my representative when I was living in Noblesville. The individual that I was speaking to about this change and how this was more of an FYI of speaking how we're moving to the master's degree. Just as Kim was mentioning, this is happening, right? The commission has already decided that this is for us. The KD is already moving forward with or without their support. But that's exactly where I had to figure that out. Why in the world would they not want this to occur? And Kim, that makes sense to me, but it also didn't make sense to me in terms of I already believed in the change. I'm part of the change as a program director. I'm most certainly involved with this from a day-to-day perspective and have a much more, thumb on the pulse, so to speak. But again, that's where I had to help this individual understand that as well. And that's where all of us, as we are exploring these different issues, and education elevation is one of them, if we don't all have a unified voice, it can also muffle our voice. And especially if we have individuals that don't agree with certain things that we might be trying to do with legislation, then we're working against each other. And so that one story is something that I think about and why I'm so thankful to be on this. And my message to every athletic trainer and athletic training student on here is I need you to be involved. I need you to read those emails. I need you to actually open them up and to know what we're fighting for, because we have to be unified in this. And if you don't like what you're seeing, maybe you're seeing the IATA, we're trying to be added to a bill, or we're trying to move in a direction that you don't agree with, we need to hear from you as members to the Executive Council so that we also have a pulse of what your expectations are. From the Executive Council, we're represented from a variety of individuals from a variety of backgrounds, but that's also where your member involvement comes in, of when, not only when we're talking to our legislators from the Hit the Hill event, but really from a day-to-day, or really more from a week-to-week, especially now that we're in session, Lou and Kim and the Courting Group are actually sending out emails to us and letting us know what's going on. So it really is from a 360 perspective. It really goes back to, we ourselves have to be informed of what's going on, and really, not doing this in a time-consuming way, but taking a few moments each week of okay, that there's that email from Kim or from Lou. I'm going to actually take a look at this. Even if you're not seeing something that affects you directly that week, that doesn't mean it won't change, right, Kim? I mean, in a moment, we could be either taken off a bill or things just can move very, very quickly. And how we communicate with you is via email. And that's where we might be actually having an ask of, we need you to contact that legislator. And again, to go back to that story that I was saying about, they didn't understand why in the world would we want to make this change. Well, that's our opportunity where we can really have this movement of voices all across the state, so we're all communicating in this efficient collective way. Hopefully that makes sense as we're thinking about everything from a big picture.
And I think, Lucas, you make a good point. Things change rapidly. The legislature is a rapid body. In Indiana, it's very different than it is across the country, and every state's legislature is different. Every state's legislature operates differently, has a different timeline, works on a different schedule. In Indiana, this is the long session of the General Assembly this year, 2021, and they are supposed to be done by April 29th. We don't know if that will happen this year with the pandemic and things that are happening, and so things might change. But if you have that opportunity to read that weekly legislative update, and I will tell you again that Lou Belch, who is the primary lobbyist for the association, writes those on behalf of the association every week. And those do get distributed to all members of the IATA on Monday, so those do come out. And a part of that is a track list, and it's a list of all the bills that we're tracking for the association. And they are wide-reaching every year. This year, there are things on there regarding COVID and some immunity. There are things regarding telemedicine and telehealth. We're no longer calling it telemedicine. We're calling it telehealth. There are things on there for athletic trainers who are owners and so of organizations. And so there's some employee type of things on there. There's good general health care pieces of legislation. You would be amazed at the breadth of information and topics that we're tracking on behalf of the association on a day-to-day basis. I just finished over this weekend reading all the bills that have been filed. And as of today, there are 1,000 pieces of legislation have been introduced in this session. And we know that there are a few more Senate bills out there that haven't seen the light of day yet. So we're gonna be over 1,000 total pieces of legislation out there from a variety of topics and information, from all of those ones I just mentioned to, I saw some things about unsafe buildings and what to do about those. There are obviously number of pieces of legislation regarding education and what's happening with education. This year is the state budget year. We have to have a state budget that has to be passed. So the state budget is a big part of the conversation. So every year the topics change, every year the hot issues change. This year, not unexpectedly, COVID is a big topic of conversation and one that you all as healthcare providers are at the forefront of.
And Kim, you just mentioned some good things that are happening this year. And so as an individual member, we've talked about how individuals can be a part of the advocacy. But then some members may be sitting here going, well, I pay my dues and I'm a part of the IATA and we work with the courting group. So what has the IATA done? What has the courting group done for maybe some bills or initiatives that have been done in the past 5 or 10 years?
Well, I think probably the number one thing that you would all know about is reimbursement. That was one of the big pieces of legislation and probably one of the reasons that the IATA hired my colleague Lou Belch. They were looking for athletic trainers to be reimbursed and to make sure that they weren't discriminated against in insurer contracts, so that you are able to be credentialed providers, that you are able to be reimbursed for the services that you provide. So those are two pieces, and actually they were two pieces of legislation that had to be passed. One, to make sure that there wasn't discrimination against athletic trainers and what you do. And secondly, to encourage and to form, it's not a mandate in Indiana because we don't have that mandate, but it is a requirement that insurers and who do certain types of services include athletic trainers. So it's more than non-discrimination. Other pieces of legislation have revolved around concussions and where you are on that team of providers returning athletes back to play or removing them from play, whichever might need to happen. Some heat acclimation piece of legislation passed a couple of years ago. That was an initiative by IATA. Again, more of a looking out for our student athletes and encouraging those type of things that needed to be done on behalf of the student athlete. Athletic trainers were added to the list of healthcare providers so that you are considered healthcare providers. I think there's been question historically, and we all knew where you were in that, but we needed to make sure everybody else understood. And so those are some pieces of legislation that have happened over the last, probably 5 to 10 years. But those have been exciting things that have moved the profession forward.
And I'd also throw in there, there was an eraser bill. There was actually a time where they were trying to take away our license. There was, I think, a couple of different reasons why, and that was back when I was very young in the profession, and I remember this now as I talk in executive council meetings or talk to our former leaders such as Scott Lawrence, he talks with so much passion, and everyone that I know that was involved in leadership around that time, they have so many feelings towards that because I as someone who really wasn't involved with this. The knowings of what's going on in governmental affairs or even with the association, I didn't realize how close we were as a profession to losing our license. And the thought of that just, it gives me chills to think about us not being a licensed profession in any state. And we typically think about that in California. And we think that that's more of the Wild Wild West. And we think, you know, that's for other individuals, but it's really important that not only are we thinking about concussion and heat illness and all these really, really important things with that, but this could be so foundational as our license, something that is there to really protect the consumer, but that's just something that we have to have, I think, someone like him that's in that situation that really has this continuous pulse on the General Assembly and what's going on, because you don't want someone like me, you don't want an athletic trainer that has that type of responsibility. And I think this is also something that a lot of our IATA members, I don't think we always take this and realize that we're pretty fortunate to have the membership base that we do that helps us be able to pay for the courting group and our association management and our lobbying, because not all states are fortunate to have that. Even within my time of being chair of the GAC, I've had a variety of conversations with other state associations when it comes to them even thinking about trying to hire someone. They literally are at the very beginning of trying to hire someone. We are so far beyond that. And again, as that average consumer, average member, if you will, I don't know if you can always appreciate that. And so this is where I feel like it's like my PBS moment, where I need you to be a member. If you're listening to this and you're starting to see, wow, this is really, really impactful. The IATA can only do what we do because of dollars that come in from memberships. And so if you are a member, thank you. If not, please be one. Please consider being one. If you'd like to talk more about why I think you should consider it and where that value is, I think the governmental affairs is just one aspect of it. But obviously, I'm biased because that's what I eat and breathe and sleep. I think it's super important that we understand where our dollars go. And yes, there are a large amount of our dollars that go to this, but again, think about as you're listening to all the different things that go along with advocacy, this is something that is truly impactful for our profession. And I do think back on all those things that Kim just said of what would happen if we didn't have a Lou? What if we didn't have a Kim? What if we didn't have someone that was truly in our corner and that was of that caliber? Because that's also something that Kim's not going to come out and say is that not only do we have someone that's really there helping us, we have some pretty darn awesome people at that. And so that can only go on and that can only continue if we have the membership base that goes along with that. So I hope I didn't sell, I don't want to sound sales gimmicky. I truly want each and every individual who's listening to this to understand the impact that Kim and her team have on our profession.
And I
thank you, like, Lucas.
Definitely. I would just like to say too, I mean, someone who went through athletic training programs here in Indiana, you know, I lived out and worked out in California for about 2.5 years as well. And sitting there, you know, working with my team, and then knowing the guy across the field from me is actually just the bus driver that they gave some med supplies to, and I know it sounds one of those like, you know, that can't be real, but it actually is. I worked at a junior college down there, and I know one of the schools that we played, their quote unquote athletic trainer was the bus driver for the last 30 years. And they just kind of started handing him med supplies. And since he always drove the bus and he was always there, he became the athletic trainer. At no point was he licensed or certified or anything else like that. So I know it sounds crazy at, you know, in states that don't have that licensure, and, you know, we're lucky to have someone who continues to fight for our licensure and, you know, making sure we don't lose it. It really is an actual, it's true that there are things like that that do happen in other states. I believe it was, I think it's, is it Colorado or Utah? There's one state out in the Mountain West area that I think is currently doing that exact same thing and fighting to keep their licensure. I don't remember if it's Colorado or Utah or, I can't remember exactly what state it was, but I know that there are states out there that are having to now come back and defend keeping their licensure. So, Kim, what kind of work does it take to kind of make sure that doesn't happen here in Indiana and in other places like that?
You mean again? Because as Lucas said, it's happened here at least twice, maybe three times. I think part of it is making sure that people understand, again, you are part of the healthcare team. You are healthcare providers. You are not a personal trainer. You're not working in, you know, the gym down the street. You are healthcare providers. And I think making sure that legislators understand that is important. I will say that, you know, as I mentioned a couple of times during this conversation, legislators don't like barriers. They think that licensure and certification and registration and continuing education and advanced educational levels all are a barrier for people who are hardworking people who want to just do nothing but practice their profession. And they don't want those barriers to be in place. And so in the situation where they have looked at it in Indiana, they have grouped in all licensed professionals and looked at all licensed professionals. Everyone from the person that cuts your hair and does cosmetology all the way up to physicians. Physicians actually had to go and defend their license, believe it or not. So they had to defend that they should maintain a license. It wasn't very serious, obviously, but still had to make the presentation in front of, at the time, in the committee I think Lucas is referring to was called ERASER. That was the acronym that came out of the name of that piece of legislation. And the intent was to eliminate licensures, registrations, and certifications. I will tell you, they haven't done very many. I believe that in Indiana, the hypnotists are no longer licensed. I'm sure that there are two or three others that I can't think of off the top of my head, but making sure that people understand who it is you are, what it is you do, what your background is, and why it's important. I will never forget being at that eraser committee meeting, and after the presentation that the IATA put on regarding why athletic trainers needed to be licensed in Indiana and why it was important and how you're truly, in so many instances, first responders, the crusty old guy on the committee, because, you know, there's always one crusty old guy, right? The guy who was just 100% sure that nobody needed a license and that we needed to take all of these away, at the end of the presentation, made this very casual comment. And he said, I'm going to say, wow, I had no idea. He said, I would have told you that before you started saying a word, I was ready to vote that you didn't need a license. He said, I've sat here and heard about your education. I've sat here and heard about what it is you do and how you interact with people. And I'm all for it. You guys are healthcare providers and you need your license, and we need to protect the citizens of Indiana, because that's what the job was. And that's why people have licenses, to make sure that we know who they are and that they're doing things the right way. And that this is a profession that rises to that level. And to hear the crusty old guy say that after the presentation said a lot to me.
Lucas, you talked about how, you know, obviously we need our membership and continue to pay their dues. But another way that people can donate is through the LATA PAC. Can you talk about what the PAC is and how people can donate?
Yeah, so the LATPAC is extremely, extremely important for everything that we do. And this is something that, not that I can't answer this, but I think that Kim is actually the best person for this, because, again, is that consumer who, you know, we hear this all the time, regardless if we're athletic trainers or not, we're always hearing about all these different donations. And regardless of what the donation is, you know, you just think, is this really something that I need to do? Well, the LATPAC is one of those things that I really do want our members, especially our stakeholders in Indiana. I want you to understand this. So, Kim, I know you're going to do this better justice than I could explaining it.
So the LATPAC enables the association to support and help contribute to the candidacy of our friends. It costs money to run for office in Indiana. There are campaigns, and we all know campaigns are expensive. And by contributing to the campaign committee of a friend of athletic training, we're helping get those people reelected or elected to the General Assembly, and hope that they will continue to share their knowledge of athletic training. They'll continue to talk about athletic training in that positive way that they have. And that's what the LATPAC allows. It's to help to contribute to the candidacies of the friends of our association. We are not buying votes. We are not guaranteeing anything other than hoping that our friends stay in the General Assembly. I'll point to a very good friend of ours, Representative Bob Heaton, out of Terre Haute. Representative Heaton has been involved in a number of those pieces of legislation that I mentioned as something that has been important in those pieces of legislation that have passed. We want to make sure that Representative Heaton continues to come back to the General Assembly every time he stands for election. And in order to do that, we help contribute, of course, in a very small way to his campaign. For all of our members, there are lots of ways to contribute to the LATPAC. There is a place on the website, again, it's on the General Assembly page that Daniel referenced earlier. There's a place there. There is a place at the bottom of all of those weekly legislative updates that are coming out to you every day or every week now, with an easy click to contribute to the LATPAC. You can do it as a one-time contribution, or you can set it up as a monthly contribution. It doesn't have to be a lot of money. We're not looking to build a war chest. That's not what this is about. We want to just make sure our friends are able to get back into the General Assembly, and that we can show them our support to do that.
And Kim, is there a is there a list of representatives and Congress, Senate that the LATPAC does support that the membership can go on to and look at, like, hey, why isn't my, you know, why couldn't my senator or representative be listed there? And then maybe reach out to those representatives or, you know, your representative and just kind of say, hey, here's a, you know, we'd love to support you, but we want you to know what we do and stuff like that. And is there a list that we can kind of look at and see who those people are?
That's a great idea, Casey. And I will tell you, honestly, we don't have a list on the website. And that's something we should probably add there, because that's one more thing we can add to that page and make it even a better page for our members. I love that idea. I will tell you, the PAC hasn't been particularly active over the last couple of years. We don't have a lot of money, so we are very particular about who we support, just because we try to be cautious with our funds and make sure that they count. But I love the idea of adding that to the website. All of those decisions do have to go through our LATPAC committee and through Lucas as the governmental affairs chair on if we're going to support somebody. But making those deliveries of individual checks would be fantastic. And so I think a great way to handle that would be, Casey, if you get this great relationship with your legislator and you think they're worthy, during the next election cycle for a contribution from the LATPAC, reaching out to Lucas and letting him know. He brings that to the committee and the committee can decide if that's an appropriate contribution. And then coming back to you and letting you help make that delivery of that check. What a better way to develop a relationship. I think that's a fantastic idea.
I do too. And I think that right there in itself of how within a very few moments, we were able to come up with such a great idea, but again, that's why we need our members. We need everyone involved, because when we work together, we think outside the box and we think of these new ideas and these new ways of doing things. And that's honest. That's 2021. We have to start doing things like this, because times are changing. And so, I hope that just gives one example of why we're even talking tonight together.
Yeah, and for everybody listening, you can hear Kim and Lucas's passion for what they do in advocacy and what they do for the IATA and what they do for athletic trainers across the state of Indiana. And I think back to Lucas's point about how we just, I mean, that quick idea within, you know, a podcast time frame, you know, I think people being involved within the IATA or just sending a quick email, hey, here's my thoughts on this. Level of engagement doesn't have to mean that you're serving as the president. You can just be engaged by opening up your email, reading the email, whether or you have a concern and reaching out to anyone on the EC or any committee chair. I think it's just, we want involvement from our members. And as athletic trainers, we're so passionate about what we do and the care that we provide to our patients. And I think that's represented through Kim and through Lucas. Again, that passion and what we're doing at the State House is for athletic trainers, but also for our patients. And so it's a full circle here, that we're not just doing this to do it. We're doing it for reasons, and we're doing it because you, the athletic trainer, are working hard every single day, and we're trying to make sure that everything gets done so that you and your patients are served the best. So with that said, Kim, and Lucas, do you guys have any last thoughts on the podcast today?
Thank you, Daniel. And again, thank you for having me. And thank you for the great opportunity to talk about governmental affairs. And you're exactly right. The passion is true. It is my biggest passion is governmental affairs and advocacy. Always love to see people active. We want to help our athletic trainer leaders. We want to help our members, and we're happy to support you as we can. I would welcome anybody. Let's not do it this session, but maybe next year in 2022. Even if you're not able to come down and do a Hit the Hill, if you have a couple of hours and you want to come and see the State House, you want to come and meet your legislator, I'm happy to help facilitate that as I can. And if I can't, Lou always can. And we've talked about myself, we've talked about Lou, and we have not mentioned Sydney. And I should mention the other member of the team is Sydney Moulton. Sydney is very active on issues relating to athletic trainers as well. She's, for the most part, Lou's right hand at the State House. So they do a lot of things together. So you'll see a lot of things from the two of them. But we welcome your participation. We ask for your participation. And I just continue to look forward to working with the association moving forward.
And to go off that, Kim, I think that I go back to what I talked about earlier, is that I need you to be a member. I think that it's not just good to be a member the first time, and so many individuals, especially our early career starters, we look at the cost of being an NATA member, and part of that cost is being a member of the IATA. I just ask that every time you go and you're putting in your credit card information and you're thinking to yourself, wow, that's a chunk of change, I hope that you keep governmental affairs is one of those things that is a conduit because of you. You're able to help us keep moving forward. And so it's not something that is taken lightly. It's very much of this every single day we're doing something to try to move us forward. And so just as Kim, I encourage you to reach out to me. I am notorious for getting back with people within 24 hours. You don't email me without me getting back with you. And so please, if there is a concern, if there's something that you want to talk more about, or if you'd like to be a member of our committee, I encourage you to either reach out to Kim or myself, because that's what it's going to take, is we need more voices in every way possible. And I thank you for allowing both Kim and I to come on this and really spending some time hopefully helping educate those that maybe didn't know what we did before tonight.
Sorry, Dan. I was going to say, just a reminder of our listeners to make sure that you keep up with those, weekly emails type thing. As you know, we weren't able to go through specific bills right now, but that changes a lot, week to week. And as things get introduced and moved around, and the best way to stay up with it is just to kind of keep up on those email blasts to make sure you're kind of staying up with your government affairs. That, and just like we kind of had that one idea, nothing change, the best way to make change is just have a conversation. So us having a conversation now and putting it out there, hopefully that sparks additional conversations, and with those kind of conversations can come ideas. So make sure you reach out to your legislators, make sure you reach out to either Lucas or anybody on the IATA, and I'm sure that we can kind of move things, listen to those and move things forward from there, but just to stay up to date as much as possible.
So you heard it, IATA members, call to action. Come on and be involved in the IATA and governmental affairs. No little effort is too small. If you think it's just too little, don't think of it as that. Every single step we make in advocacy is very important. Kim, Lucas, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I think our members are going to get a great benefit out of this. And thank you to the listeners for hanging in there to our podcast today. And hope you join us on the next one. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Indiana Athletic Trainers Association podcast, hosted by the Young Professionals Committee. The IATA would like to thank elite sponsor Methodist Sports Medicine, silver sponsors Myotech Sports Medicine and Community Health Network, and bronze sponsor Ultra Ankle. Be sure to follow the IATA on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube for information on any upcoming events.